welcome to Subspace Transmissions, the podcast where two Trek fans step into the arena and tackle the best, worst, weirdest, wildest, and everything in between that Star Trek has to offer. I'm Cam Smith, and join me on the bridge.
This is Tyler Orton reporting for duty.
And now, for this week's conundrum, should Star Trek return to the Mirror Universe?
Is this a yes or no question?
No. So on that note, our assignment is complete.
That was the quickest episode ever.
So this is a topic that it's kind of surprising it's taken us this long to get to.
Yeah.
Because the Mirror Universe is such a huge part of Star Trek mythology.
That's why I have a goatee on right now.
But I always knew to do this episode proper, we had to sit down and watch all the episodes, which isn't a lot, but it's enough that maybe it gets put off and we're like, oh, we got to get to that at some point.
I found doing this research much more enjoyable than doing the Geordi LaForge research.
Oh, I don't know about that. That's debatable.
I don't know. Okay, well, we'll get into it, though. Yeah. But essentially, I mean, Duna kind of, at least my inspiration when I was going forward with this, is when we talked at the very beginning of the year, our first episode, we were discussing whether Quentin Tarantino should direct Star Trek. And we're all like, well, we respect the guy, but would he really do justice to the series?
Right.
You pitched the idea of what about Quentin Tarantino directing a movie that took place in the Mirror Universe.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a lot of fun. Right. So I'm just wondering if Star Trek returns, you know, a year from now, is there room for, you know, the series to go back and visit the Mirror Universe? What if the next series takes place entirely in this Mirror Universe, which I doubt.
And would that work?
But would it work?
Yeah, exactly.
Could it sustain itself? You know, because look, if we just have a bunch of evil Terrans,
yeah,
I don't think it's going to work, but I don't think that would be necessarily the idea that they would go with.
Yeah, and we recently did our Desert Island picks and for Star Trek, and you, of course, cited, you know, Mirror Mirror as sort of a runner-up and said In a Mirror Darkly is one you would want to take.
I love me, like, those two Mirror episodes. They're a lot of fun.
Yeah, so
those two.
So then the ultimate topic is, you know, would it work stretched out? Is it better as a one-time sort of per-series anomaly? So let's kind of get into it. Do we want to kind of do kind of a broader thoughts on the Mirror Universe while kind of talk about some of the episodes
and
how the series tackled each one?
Yeah, well, here's the thing that I think is key here is because there's so much obvious universe building, you know, that it seems like there's so much ground to cover here when it comes to, hey, this could be like a fun universe to explore.
Right.
You can definitely tell that Manny Coto went hog wild when he got the chance to be the showrunner for season 4 and they jumped into that universe.
Yes.
But Cameron, I mean, it's so iconic. Spock with the goatee.
Right.
Do you know anybody who's not at least aware of that icon there, that image of Spock?
No, I mean, it's all of our t-shirts. It's an amazing image, the bearded Spock. I mean, I think he's the most iconic character in the Mirror Universe.
Absolutely. What, not Jennifer Sisko?
We'll get to her later.
Okay.
I would say, you know, probably him and maybe Mirror Universe Uhura is also in the running, too.
Yeah.
So Mirror Mirror, which I think is a really fun episode that builds this huge universe of Star Trek, and it's such a bottle episode. Like, you can tell it was a budget-saving episode. Hey, get some different outfits, throw the cast in these. Hey, they're in an alternate universe. Like, it's such a cheap way, and yet it feels so, like, rich and diverse. It's kind of crazy. It's almost like by accident they did this.
Do you think, I don't know, like, if I realize it's a different era of television, but do you think there could have ever been talk of them returning to that Mirror Universe during the TOS era?
During then, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the writing credits for original series, almost every episode is, like, written by someone different.
Mm-hmm.
There's such little crossover, and it just doesn't seem like they were interested in returning to themes.
Yeah.
Most of the writers who you know, you hear talk about working on the series, it's like they came with an original idea, and that got turned into an episode.
And I'm kind of surprised we never heard, you know, we've heard a lot of, you know, failed film pitches that never went through. We haven't heard anything about them possibly visiting, like, the Mirror Universe in any of the films, which seems kind of surprising because, like I said, the image of them in the Mirror Universe is so iconic, you know? I would think that, you know, mainstream audiences would be able to figure it out pretty easily.
Right. Do you think there's fear that modern audiences audiences who aren't Star Trek fans would just kind of think it was ridiculous?
Okay, because
it's very campy.
There is some camp, and I think
there is a lot of camp.
But, okay, what do you think's campier, Mirror Mirror or In a Mirror Darkly?
Probably
I would say, no question to me, I think In a Mirror Darkly.
In a Mirror Darkly, yeah.
I look, Scott Bakula, he is chewing the scenery there. Like, he's and like his like the devil on his shoulder, on both shoulders, I should say, who's like appearing to him and telling him, you know, to kill everybody who comes in his way. He's just having so much fun with that.
You've got the two female crew members in like skimpy outfits fighting in the hallway. Like, it's very, very campy.
That was silly. The campiest, I think so. You know, when like Hoshi's telling T'Pol that Trip has been complaining about her in bed. It's just like, oh, meow.
Awkward.
But let's tackle it. Like, is there more room for us to revisit this universe? Because we get Mir-Mir.
Yeah.
You know, 25 or however many years later, we jump into the Mir universe once again with Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
There was so much universe building, and I think a lot of it was unintentional in that original episode.
Mm-hmm.
And they come back and they do the Deep Space Nine crossover episodes. I'm going to get so many of these episode titles mixed up.
I got them all written down.
Okay, I have them all written here on my notes, but okay. But we start with crossover. Yeah. I do kind of like the idea that, you know, like Spock becomes this reformer and it utterly and miserably fails.
Yes.
You know, like I think there's potential there. Do you think that Deep Space Nine seized on this potential?
I think crossover is the best of the bunch, and we'll get to the other ones after. Sure. I feel like crossover is the one, it feels kind of like an original idea because it's weird because they never did another Mirror Universe episode after original series, which is kind of crazy because it feels so ripe for further adventures. And Michael Piller said that he was approached with Mirror Universe pitches, like all his time on TNG.
I believe he
shot them all down.
Yeah.
And it was finally Ira Stephen Bear that convinced him to do it on Deep Space Nine. Deep Space Nine really had the run of the mill for just like wacky ideas.
Yeah.
Like, they were just like, yeah, go nuts. I think that's why it's such a great series. But they ultimately do crossover. I don't think crossover is a great episode, but it's Kira and Bashir winding up in the Mirror Universe, where we meet, I think, maybe next to Spock, Bearded Spock, maybe the most compelling character of the Mirror Universe world, which is the
intended Regent Worf.
Which I was going to say is Nog. But no, is intended Kira.
Yes, absolutely. Like, this to me, I have to approach it as if it's in the intended universe.
Yes. Because
she's in every single one of these.
The only character who shows up in every one.
You're correct, because Garak doesn't make an appearance in Resurrection.
Right.
How unfortunate. Anyway, but yeah, to me, this is the intended universe, and it's weird how, okay, when we go back to In a Mirror Darkly, all the, you know, regular characters, they're playing their characters as evil, except for maybe the Vulcans,
right.
Which makes sense because you see how similar, you know, the Mirror Universe Spock is to the regular universe Spock.
They're very much like pirates in Mirror, yeah.
But when we get to Deep Space Nine, I don't know, like, you've got O'Brien. He's not evil. He's Smiley's... What's the difference between regular O'Brien and Smiley?
They're both sad sacks.
Yeah.
It's just like, Smiley has it a little worse. Like, Miles O'Brien has a pretty good gig, right? Whereas, like, Smiley has a pretty shitty one.
And I do like the idea that Smiley's like, oh, wait, I could be something more than just, you know, this, like, crappy ore processor.
The way I justify the Mirror Universe is more that the Prime Universe is sort of an optimistic future, whereas the other one is a pessimistic future.
Well, let me throw this at you. It's depicted quite clearly that, like, Mir Kirk is a barbarian.
Yeah.
You know?
I love his brief appearance in the episode.
in the brig.
It's so good.
It's pretty amazing.
I wish they'd showed, like, the Uhura, though. And like and Scotty.
I think they were in the background, weren't they?
Sort of, yeah. But you don't see them at all. They don't do anything. It's Kirk who gets all the screen time.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's so fun. Just like in just like a brief cutaway.
Do you know who I am? But okay, so he's a barbarian, he's evil, he's not very nuanced. You go to like Mir Sisko, he's just like a groovy swashbuckler. You know, he's not like this evil.
He's like Errol
dude.
Flynn.
Yeah, really. So it's just kind of weird that like that's how the Mir universe evolved. It got me thinking about the Mirror Universe, though, especially when we have the depiction of like Zefram Cochrane, one of my favorite moments in all of Star Trek, pulling out a shotgun and blowing away the Vulcan who made first contact there.
Yeah.
So do you think, Cameron, that the Mirror Universe is the way it is because humans are just fundamentally different and we have all these different aliens interacting with them? You know, like there has to be a Klingon-Cardassian alliance because the humans are different.
Right.
You know, because is there really that much difference between how Cardassians behave in the Mirror Universe and how they behave in the Prime Universe?
Not really.
And what about Klingons? I'd say no. But humans are absolutely different, though.
Yeah, it's almost like the Mirror Universe is mankind giving to its worst impulses.
Yeah. Whereas Cardassians are just Cardassians.
Right.
Klingons are just Klingons. This is how you absolutely know that we're living, like, or that the Prime Universe should actually be considered the Mirror Universe. What if Regent Worf encountered his prime self? He's like, I'm in Starfleet?
Yeah, no kidding.
This is a joke.
Yeah.
This is parody, isn't it?
The interesting thing about Regent Worf that you bring up.
Wait, you said interesting in Regent Worf in the same sentence?
Originally, the plan was to have Worf show up in Crossover.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is the first one. And he was going to play the Garak role as the Intendant's sort of lackey. And the Garak character was going to fill the role that was ultimately taken over by a minor Klingon named Telok. And
that's my Telok.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's like, who the hell's Telok? But, like, that shows
I think
you.
It was actually Sirach Lofton's body double.
But it shows you how... Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, there you have it.
I think the reason I know that is because I think he just joined the Star Trek Deep Space Nine Facebook group.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, who is this guy? And I think he played a Klingon in Mirror Universe.
Okay.
He may not be Telok, but... Yeah. He could be.
But it shows you, like, how small a role we were going to get of Garak originally. And, like, I think the Mirror Universe DS9 episodes, whatever their faults might be, they benefited a lot from having Andy Robinson there a lot.
Absolutely, but I don't know. How do you think Mirror Universe Garak compares to Prime Universe Garak?
He's just kind of a toady.
Yeah, he's just kind of, like, he's more of a thug, kind of.
Yeah.
He's not nearly as nuanced, which I'm fine with.
I don't think anyone is nuanced in the Mirror Universe.
I would say the Intendant has...
She's the most.
She has the most, you know. Jennifer Sisko?
We'll get to her later.
Okay.
That should be the running joke. That's the teaser for the later in the episode.
We'll get to her later, okay. Yeah, I don't know. Just to me, like... At least we have Garak around in that universe.
Yeah.
I don't think he's particularly compelling.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's interesting. Would you call Mirror Mirror a fun episode?
Yes.
I would, too. It's interesting because Crossover would have been, in terms of chronology of shooting, Crossover would have been the return to the Mirror Universe from Mirror Mirror. And the director, David Livingston, said shooting Crossover was no fun at all.
Okay.
Like, he felt immense pressure doing that episode. He just kept reiterating, it wasn't fun.
Shows on screen.
Yeah, and he said it was one of the most expensive episodes of the series.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, I think it was because of all that, like, double camera work with, like, Kira and the Attendant. You know, I think they actually went a day over their schedule just because of that.
So it had a lot of technical ambition, which I think kind of weighed down sort of the lightness of it. And I wonder if, you know, like, because you can tell Mirror Mirror the cast was having a ball.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of a ball anyone was having shooting Crossover, and
Avery,
I think that hurts.
Avery Brooks is having a ball. You can tell
that. He is, definitely, yes.
But here's the thing, like, Mirror Mirror and In a Mirror Darkly, those are both fun episodes.
Yes.
Would you call any of the other ones, like, particularly fun
episodes? They strive for it, but we'll get to them later.
Okay.
But Crossover, I don't think is. Like, I think Crossover is sort of a entertaining enough sort of dark look at the Mirror Universe.
Yeah. I mean, there's some very clear themes going on, which I do appreciate, where, you know, people are realizing, hey, this guy can be a doctor in his universe. Why can't I strive for something better?
Yeah.
I'm talking about Smiley here.
I think one of the strengths, too, of a Mirror Universe episode, at least early on, I think this is shot in the head later on in the run, but is having characters from the Prime Universe sort of in the Mirror Universe and reacting to it. I think that helps a lot. I think that's what made Mirror Mirror so much fun. I think it helps with Crossover a lot, having Kira there.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this, though. What if Odo interacted with his other self? Is there really much... I don't know. I just wonder, do you think the Mirror Universe Odo is just a creation of this different circumstance? Or is there something just... I don't know. The force of the universe is making him evil. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah,
here?
I know what you mean. I feel like Odo in the Mirror Universe is a lot like Garak. It's just like circumstances have made him what he is.
That's what I kind of lean towards. Whereas the human characters, I almost feel as if it's the force of the universe that are making them the way they are, as opposed to just circumstances.
Right.
If that makes sense.
It's interesting, Odo, though. I think the one inspiration that Rene Auberjonois took from the Mirror Universe performance was to wear a belt with Odo's outfit.
Mm-hmm. He liked it.
He really liked that belt.
Yeah.
So let's get into the next DS9 Mirror Universe episode. Let's kind of track the progression of the Mirror Universe. Because this is DS9 is the only time we get an extended look at it and see kind of how Mirror Universe might play out if revisited over and over again.
Okay.
So let's move on to Through the Looking Glass. This is the episode where this time it's Sisko who winds up there.
Yeah.
And ultimately has to kind of take the place of Mirror Universe Sisko.
And he's sleeping with a lot of familiar faces, you know.
Well, actually, that is why apparently Avery Brooks was especially happy with when he read the script for this, because Sisko got laid twice.
Yes, he's getting more in that one episode than he had for probably the series up until that point.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about Sisko being the least sexualized captain in our Bad Boys of Star Trek episode.
Yeah.
This episode actually does a little bit to remedy that.
Well, I do like how, like, when he was with Jadzia, he just had this look on his face like, well, if I must, I must.
For queen and country.
But and you start to get the developments of an arc here as well. Like, okay, yeah. So the rebellion's continuing.
Yeah.
What can we really do to continue it on? What do you think about Mirror Universe Tuvok? Totally worth it, Cam?
That was apparently Rick Berman insisted he be in it.
Sure.
So
why not give him the goatee, though? Like, that disappointed me.
Yeah, that is actually interesting. I wonder why they didn't.
Because, I mean, like, we do get Mirror Universe Saval, who is bearded.
Do you think...
Or goateed, I should say.
Yeah. Do you think it was because, I mean, when Mirror Mirror came out, Spock is wearing a very visibly fake goatee. Do you think they were very wary about any sort of fake facial hair on Tuvok?
Ah, who cares?
Well, we don't care, but do you think that was a thought?
I think, honestly, they just didn't want to confuse people. They could have just thought it was a random Vulcan with a goatee, yeah. Because Voyager had, been on the air for, like, a week at that point.
That's a good point, actually, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was really just more for promotional purposes.
Right.
You know, and, I don't know, was there any difference between... Prime Tuvok and Near Tuvok?
They were equally bland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas, I mean, like, T'Pol, she had some nuance, yeah. As did Near Spock, you know?
I mean, a lot of the characters do. It's really Tuvok is the one that doesn't.
Yeah. Well, and then we also get to see, you know, a different take on the Ferengi.
Yeah.
Benevolent Quark, and of course Benevolent Rom, who's kind of like this double / triple / quadruple agent or something, right. You know, and he ends up getting impaled by a spear. Like, yeah. that seemed like a brutal way for the attendant to do away with
him. I really enjoy that the DS9 Mirror Universe episodes were willing to kill characters. I mean, in the first one, they kill Odo.
Yeah.
And Quark. It's like, well, that kind of screws them over going forward.
Well, you know, but, like, were we really begging for the return of, like, Mir, Quark, and Odo and subsequent outings? Like, it wasn't necessary, but,
yeah. You know, after that point, they would only kill, like, kind of guest characters showing up.
But they always killed a Ferengi.
Yes.
Yeah.
But in that one, they killed the two primary actors, like, or two of the primaries.
I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with it, too, but I do wonder if that was sort of an issue, like, when they kept going back, like, oh, crap.
I don't think they killed anyone from Enterprise. Like, I think Reed was badly injured, but I don't think he was actually killed.
No, I think you're right.
And even Archer, I don't know, he had some Forrest. Champagne.
Admiral Forrest died.
He's not a main character, though.
No, he's not. Wait, he's not?
I don't know. Archer had some champagne. I'd like to think that, Empress Sato just made him pass out.
Maybe.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, but going back to
Through the Looking Glass. Yeah. This introduces Jennifer back. Mirror Universe Jennifer.
Well, let's get to her later.
Because Mirror Universe Jennifer is introduced. Sisko has to save her, ultimately, for the good of the Alliance or whatever.
Sure.
Now, it's one thing if this is a one-episode character. We maybe wouldn't talk about her that much. But she ultimately is a major part of two DS9 Mirror Universe episodes.
And in both instances, I totally think... it makes dramatic sense to bring her into the picture.
Yeah.
Do they use her to good effect?
I think that they do. I think they give her enough to do. I think the problem is the actress is not very strong in this part.
She doesn't really have much charisma.
Did you notice she doesn't blink?
No.
It made me very uneasy to watch.
Well, do you know why? Because in the Prime Universe, she blinks. But in the Mirror Universe, that means she doesn't blink.
Yeah, like, she's played by Felicia M. Bell. And, I mean, I'm sure she's a wonderful woman. But I think Jennifer is so underdeveloped in the premiere because she doesn't have much of a part at
dies.
All. Yeah, she doesn't have much to do in it.
You didn't like her scene underneath, like, some debris? It didn't you know,
it was a show-stopping performance.
Yeah.
But you get to the Mirror Universe where they bring her back and ask her to carry two episodes as Jennifer, the great Jennifer. It's like, we don't have that much of a connection.
Well, but let's tackle it from what's, you know, Benjamin's going through. Like, it's his deceased wife. It looks exactly like her. The problem is, I think it's also from a character's perspective, we don't know Prime Universe Jennifer at all. We don't know what her personality is like. Mere Jennifer seems perfectly
pleasant.
So does that mean, like, Prime Jennifer was just a real, like, horrible person to be around?
I don't know.
Like,
I have no handle on that character, really.
So it's really, I think they kind of wrote themselves into a corner, and I don't even know if they realize this, but just dramatically, it doesn't quite work, even though it's such a great thing for Benjamin to play off of. You know, like, dealing with the kind of return of his deceased wife.
Yeah, and I think, like, I would rank this episode below Crossover, but I think I think there's enough strength in Avery Brooks is obviously having a really good time in this episode, and I do kind of have an issue with both this and Mirror Mirror, the sense that, like, Kirk and Sisko going impersonating their Mirror Universe selves, and no one seems to notice that they're acting strange.
Well, no. You know what? Spock brought this up in Mirror Mirror. Yeah. He said it's much easier for the civilized guy to play a barbarian than it is for a barbarian to pretend to be civilized.
But do you think Kirk was really playing a barbarian? Like, he would not go as far as, like, Mirror Universe.
Okay, honest, do you think anybody could really predict that, like, a doppelganger from another universe took their spot? They just thought, hey, maybe he's just having a couple extra quaaludes.
What about when we get to Sisko, though? Like, there's precedent for people crossing over between the universes.
Yeah, but by that point, he's saying, no, it's really me. I'll sleep with you to prove it.
That's quite true.
So, you know, but I don't know how widespread this knowledge is. And I can kind of maybe think, maybe not everybody knows about it. Smiley does, the intendant does. Mm-hmm. When Bashir finds out that he got punched in the face by Prime Sisko, he returns the favor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, do you feel, so we're two episodes in, do you feel the story, like the overall arc of the Mirror Universe is still going strong?
Going strong?
Yeah.
Sure. I don't know.
It's already faltering for you?
Well, no, you know, I don't think it really takes shape until the next episode, Shattered Mirror.
So let's move into Shattered Mirror then. This is the episode where Jennifer comes into the Prime Universe.
She steals away Jake because she needs Sisko to help them fix the Defiant to take on the Alliance. Because, of course, Smiley stole the design plans the first time he came into this universe. So,
yeah, I gotta be honest, I did not care about the story of this episode. I found actually the what makes this episode to me watchable is Jake and Jennifer. I like the idea
that
the relationship actually was very interesting to me of I think it's so creepy though when he walks in and like Sisko's sitting there with like his Mirror Universe wife.
Maybe give the kid a warning sign, you know, like that, like would you not like
sock
scream
on the door?
Like yeah. I don't know, I would like run out of the room like yelling.
Like, well, I mean, Jake does say that Sisko had told him about her.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
But it's still really strange.
He wasn't expecting the Mirror Universe mom to show up, you know.
So I take it you weren't as big a fan of the Jake-Jennifer stuff?
Well, okay, here's the... my favorite moment is when Benjamin confronts Jennifer about this and says, as far as Jake is concerned, the three of us are already living together.
Right.
And I think, yeah, that's a good point for him to bring up because I think it's a really... I mean, I understand why Jennifer's trying to do it, but it's a real, like, sadistic thing to do to, like, just toy with, like, the emotions of a kid who lost his mother that way. You know, it's kind of, and I don't think they really really nailed down how bad it was for her to do that, you know.
Yeah And I mean, they ultimately give her the out with the kind of the heroic ending, getting shot, you know, defending Jake, although frankly the intendant could have just shot Jake immediately after.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering why not.
I don't know,
you know, her excuse is, tell your father I was lenient.
Yeah.
This, like, okay.
This was actually the Nanav Visitor's favorite Mirror Universe episode they did. She felt that she got to see the darkest version of the Intendant.
Okay.
Which, fair enough. I mean, I...
Not stabbing Brunt in the gut for no reason?
I guess not. I mean, shooting down Jennifer in a hallway is pretty dark.
Yeah, absolutely. I also wondered... Okay, if we're looking at fun Mirror Universe outings...
I haven't gotten to one yet with DS9.
I think this is more fun, if only for the introduction of Regent Worf.
Right.
Where Worf explains to Garak, you're not my type.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, it's just, like, they're having fun. It's a sexually charged universe that's very clear with just how the Intendant behaves. Especially, like, being attracted to herself early on, you know? So, I don't know. I think this is more fun than the previous outing.
Right. I think it's interesting, though, the director, James Conway of Shattered Mirror, he talked about the Mirror Universe, and he said, it's dark and sexy, and there's no subtlety over there. And I kind of began to a real... I watched all five of these DS9 ones kind of over a couple days. And I began to experience that, where it was like, I wonder if that's one of the great weaknesses of the Mirror Universe, is that there is no subtlety. When you watch Prime Universe, there's a lot of layers, there's a lot of depth. When you get to Mirror Universe, they tend to go big and broad.
But was... I would agree there's not much subtlety in the Mirror Universe, but why is it that Enterprise and TOS get it right, though? Like, why...
Well, I don't think there's subtlety there either.
Okay.
It's just that I think it's because it's a one single standalone episode. It's kind of like their fun episode. Whereas DS9 is trying to turn it into an ongoing arc.
But I don't think they started out with that intention, though.
Well, I don't think so either.
I think it was just a one-off thing.
It feels like they're making up as they go.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially when we get to the next one.
Well, let's get on to the next one.
Yeah, let's get to Resurrection.
My favorite episode.
This is the season 6 one. They sat out season 5 without a Mirror Universe episode, but they came
back. They're saving Beryl for the right moment.
So, yeah, this brings us to the Resurrection of Beryl. He shows up, and what the hell is this episode?
It was one of the most boring episodes of Star Trek I've ever experienced. Yeah. Like, I just did not care. And, you know, Iris Stephen Bear said, like, look, we knew we were going to get shit for whatever episode followed, you know, the Dominion War arc and the wedding.
Yeah, and I didn't think it was,
yeah,
I mean,
but
terrible placement.
He said he didn't think it was going to be this bad.
But I like that he says, though I don't think it's the best episode we've ever done, I believe we've done worse.
That's a ringing endorsement.
But he then also noted it's one of the better romantic episodes.
Okay.
I don't agree
with
that.
It's up there with the Muse.
Yeah, I do not agree with that at all.
Nana
Visitor was not a big fan. She felt it was not true to the character of Kira, and that she was over Beryl. And also that she would never get so involved with the man she just met.
Wow. So. But did she really just meet him?
I don't know. So let's get to the episode. I mean, it's really kind of simplistic. It's a really kind of dull episode. Nothing really happens. Beryl comes back. He's a thief. And
they want to steal the Orb of Prophecy.
That's it.
Yeah.
There's nothing else. Like, whereas the previous three kind of had these fairly complex, convoluted stories of, you know, the Rebellion and the Alliance and all this sort of stuff.
We don't even get to step into the Mirror Universe in this entire episode.
No.
And the other thing, I mean, they brought up some interesting possibilities that they never really seized upon here. I don't know, is there simply no Bajoran religion in the other universe? I mean, Beryl said, oh yeah, we have gods, but I leave them alone, they leave me alone. But he doesn't know what a Vedic is.
Yeah.
And I wonder, hey, maybe if it's the Mirror universe, does that mean the Bajorans worship the Pa race? The majority of the Bajorans do? I don't know. That would be an intriguing plot thread to follow up on. Maybe that's why they're trying to get an orb. I don't know.
I think the problem is that, and we'll probably talk about this in an episode sometime in the future, but when it comes to, like, the Bajoran religion, they're using it more as, it's the paint on the walls. It's not, like, you're not paying attention to it.
To me, I mean,
people waving incense and kneeling. Like, there's no depth to the faith, and so I just don't think they're that interested in it.
To me, the Bajoran religion elements, I think... one of the more grating elements of the show. I just did not really care for it. I found it so unbelievably boring.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, like, I thought the emissary stuff was interesting, but, like, just watching the, I don't know, people have, what was that ceremony that you keep ridiculing, Cam?
The Gratitude Festival?
Yeah, the Gratitude Festival.
Yeah.
You know, that's like, that sort of boring stuff.
Yeah, and in Resurrection, you know, Beryl goes with Kira to an actual ceremony, and how long would you make it to that ceremony before you were like, I'm out of here?
I would be the guy sleeping in the pews of that particular temple there.
Yeah. It's very... I like how there's, like, people standing outside the door, though, like, with chimes. That kind of made me laugh. But getting back to the actual episode of Resurrection, like, did you, in this episode, see any reason, really, to even do a Mirror Universe episode?
No. And here's the thing. I think, look, between season 5 and this episode, you could have done some more interesting, you know, Terran Rebellion arc going on.
Like, I feel like at this point, they had no story left for the Mirror Universe.
But, I mean, to me, I could just fan fiction some stuff really...
I'm not saying that you couldn't. I'm saying that they did not have any more story that they just, for some reason, felt that eager to tell.
Which is surprising, though, because it seems like there's just so much left to tell in this universe, yeah, you know? Because by the time we get to the next episode, the final DS9 outing, why don't we just get into that? Because I don't know how much...
Well, I got a couple notes I want to just add. I just wanted to say...
Keep it short. We're talking about Resurrection here.
I know. I just think it's really odd that they basically replicate the previous episodes with bringing Jennifer back to bringing Baryle back for Kira.
I don't think that's odd. I think because they
does it feel a little sad, though?
Well, no. To me, it's like, hey, there's a really good opportunity to bring...
Is it?
No, but, you know, it's not because they're enamored by Baryle. It's what it means for the character of Kira.
Right.
Like, she's over, like, the death of Baryle. And she's still reeling from the death of Zial at this point.
Right.
So, like, how does she come to grips with the return of, like, a loved one? You know, I think it's totally kosher. It's perhaps not the most creative decision, or original decision, but I'm fine with it.
How did you feel about Philip Anglim's performance as Mirror Universe?
I loved watching him eat berries in bed.
There's a pull quote.
he ate a lot in this episode.
He did.
He's stuffing his mouth with, like, pastries. And
I guess there's not a lot of food in the Mirror Universe.
Well, you get that with Brunt saying, oh, you guys must be hungry. I've got some tube grubs.
Yeah.
This is an Emperor's New Cloak. Cam, can we finish up on Resurrection now?
I think so.
Okay, well, we get to Emperor's New Cloak. There's still story left to tell. What we did not...
Although they didn't set up a lot of story to tell by the end of Resurrection. You know what I mean?
That could have been completely forgotten about in as part of the Mirror Universe arc.
You could take that episode and kind of almost like plop it anywhere within the series of Mirror Universe episodes, practically.
No, you could completely excise it and nobody would know a thing happened at all.
Emperor's New Cloak.
So we do get... you know what? I did forget... to bring up one of the reasons why I thought that Shattered Mirror is a lot of fun.
Okay.
Garrick in chains.
Okay, well.
So there you go. But anyways, fast forward. Garrick's out of chains. He's still hanging out with Regents. Mm-hmm. They want a cloaking device. So they get the Ferengi to steal one for them after they kidnap Zek, who's opening trade relations in the Mirror Universe.
Yeah.
I buy this. Cameron?
I like the idea. I did not really like this episode at all. I think it's one of the weaker Ferengi. It's one of the weakest. I can never say it's the weakest because of Profit and Lace.
Yeah.
But it's nipping at its heels.
I can think of weaker Ferengi episodes.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. This one's pretty dire, I thought. I like the idea of Zek going to the Mirror Universe for profit. That's a funny idea. And it definitely makes sense with the Ferengi.
Yeah.
Well,
to me, well, I guess... what I'm disappointed by is that this is the last outing in the universe.
Yeah.
Is there any resolution to what at all happened here?
No, which kind of goes back to what I was saying. Like, I felt like they were out of story. Like, I don't feel when they did Emperor's New Cloak, they had more story they wanted to tell. It was just kind of like, we need a Ferengi comedy episode. Hey, what would happen if we put Quark and Rom in the Mirror Universe?
But doesn't it just seem like there's such an obvious... story to tell, though? Like, either you know, the rebellion succeeds or it fails, and you know, like, why not just explain that? You've had, you know, they started doing this in what, season two? You've had 6 years to work it all out. I think it could have been a very easy story left to tell, but instead we just get Regent Worf, he's surrendered.
Yeah, he's kind of,
that's the end of,
and he's just a buffoon. Like,
okay with that,
but don't you think it's I feel like the stakes of the Mirror Universe really dropped as DS9 went along.
Yeah.
Like, when you get to the last two, Resurrection and Emperor's New Cloak, it's like almost just like a joke universe, like where there's no real danger. I never felt like danger.
Don't include Resurrection in this because, like, we don't get to be in the Mirror Universe.
Well, I'm only including because the Intendant shows up at the end of that. And she's, again, like, there's no threat to her when she shows up in Resurrection. I mean, Vedic Baryle, like, stuns her or whatever. She's like, I'll talk my way out of this.
Yeah.
Whereas that would not have happened in the first few.
Yeah.
And why is it every one of them seems to end with, like, the Intendant in a hallway pointing a gun at someone?
That's true.
It's like every Mirror Universe episode of DS9, like, ends that way.
Hey, they know that she's a star.
It's true.
So, would you, okay, what, there's a couple things that I do wonder about this Mir universe introduced in Deep Space Nine. Why not bring Dukat into the picture at any particular point?
Well, they make a joke about Dukat at some point. Like, is he going to show up as, like, they basically said, like, would he be, like, a friendly character or something? Right. Like, or president of the Federation. That's what it was. And then they say, there is no Federation. It's like, ah, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, why is Mark Alaimo not in here?
I have no idea. It seems perfect for him.
We're bringing Jennifer and Vedic Boral back, but we can't get Gul Dukat.
Or even like Martok. Like, it would have been great to have Martok with two eyes featured in this.
You know? Gowron.
Why not? With one eye.
Yeah.
You know, sure. I don't know. Something.
Do anything.
We could have, and there would have been chances to bring back like other dead characters that we're much happier to see than just Boral.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. It just seemed kind
Shakar.
Of... Sure. He never died. Only in spirit.
And yeah. In our hearts.
But I don't know. Even like, I don't know. Look, what if one of the... here's a great story that I'm just coming up with on the fly.
Okay.
Because I'm a great storyteller.
Sure.
I don't know. What if one storyline revolved around the discovery of the wormhole and they were dealing with the other Dominion or whatever the equivalent was? Amir Weyoun.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just that there seems so much story left to tell that they didn't really seize upon that. And I don't know why.
And it's weird because they start off really ambitious.
Yeah.
With at least the first two. It seems like they're really kind of swinging for the fences in a way that the latter episodes never pay off. And it's interesting because Ira Stephen Bear was a big fan of The Emperor's New Cloak. He said, though we tried in many ways to play it with a straight face at first... in Deep Space Nine, as time went on, it just became tougher for us to not see it for what it was, which was kind of a rather flaky alternative to what we'd been doing. And it's like...
I honestly liked Emperor's New Cloak more than you did. Like, I thought it was, like, a fine episode.
Fine, I guess. But, I mean, but ultimately he's even saying, like, at the end, it's like, yeah, we just don't take it seriously.
Yeah.
But it felt like when you get to at least the first two, they were taking the story seriously.
Well, yeah, but that's why I was kind of disappointed they kind of drifted away from, like, more of what the Rebellion was possible of doing, you know? Like, I would have liked to have seen it either succeed or just, hey, it's a real harsh universe. It could have just been crushed once again. But ultimately, it just kind of faded away. Defiant now has a cloaking device. There you go.
Yeah. And so, like, to me, this kind of gives me... Like, when we talk about Star Trek returning to the Mirror Universe for, say, an extended period of time, like, say, more than, one episode, it's things like this that make me nervous and that the writers kind of feel almost like they just run out of interest when they're doing Mirror Universe stuff.
Well, here's what the plan was. If Enterprise had continued on, Manny Koto wanted to pop in on that universe, like, every subsequent season and just show... the progression of the arc. So if it went on, you know, for seven seasons, we would have gotten, you know, like, I guess four more trips to that particular universe. Three more trips to that particular universe. In the Mirror universe, Tyler can count. What is it about Enterprise's In a Mirror Darkly two-parter that succeeds on such a much better level than I think Deep Space Nine did? Because here's the thing, like, going into it, like, I remember enjoying the Deep Space Nine crossover episodes much more than I actually did upon rewatching them.
Yeah, I felt the same way.
So these are kind of... Some of it was just, like, kind of the lighting. Like, it wasn't...
Well, I think the problem is there's a heaviness to Deep Space Nine, just the show as a whole, that really undercuts the Mirror Universe, which is kind of playful.
Yeah.
But
we get the Intended, who is totally embodies everything that the Mirror Universe should be, but the rest of the characters don't follow suit, which is so strange to me.
Well, it's like with the Intended, they decided to write a character.
Yeah.
With the rest, they wrote caricatures.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Intended is an absolute, I think, like a genius creation. Like, I think when we did our antagonist episode way back, God knows how long ago, The Intendant made, like, our list of greatest antagonists. Because I think the Na Visitor is a fascinating villain in here. She's, you know, she's not just a cartoony kind of campy character.
You're right.
She's genuinely dangerous.
Scary.
She has, like, a very warped, like, morality, where it's like...
As in known?
Well, as in no morality. But she's not predictable.
Yeah.
Like, her decisions will... you never look at her and go, well, she's just going to, you know, wipe everyone out. She can kind of turn on a dime, and it makes sense for the character.
Right.
It doesn't feel like, you know, we just saw Batman v Superman not too long ago.
Don't remind me.
And Lex Luthor is, he's written as crazy.
Yeah.
Everything he does is because he's crazy, which is such a lazy out for writers. And you could make that argument about the Intendant, but everything she does makes sense for the context for the character.
Well, with Brunt's death, she's like, I could just sense it. He was going to betray me, yeah. So I had to stab him in the gut. Sorry, Ezri.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Intendant Kira is how to write an insane character very, very well.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would want to see a Mirror Universe TV series, but I wouldn't mind seeing the Intendant as a character in an ongoing TV series.
I would be down for that. If Nana Visitor was able to be brought back on just to portray the Intendant in a spinoff by Brian Fuller.
She could join the Prime Universe.
I'd be down for that, yeah. But I don't know. Well, you talk about crazy. Mm-hmm. The other crazy, like absolute crazy character we get is John Archer in the Mirror Universe. I kind of dug it. It seemed at first, I was like, really?
Yeah.
I got into it, though. Like, he was just having so much fun. And Scott Bakula's character, Jonathan Archer, is not somebody who really cuts loose.
No.
He absolutely got to do that throughout this two-part episode.
Well, I like that, you know, fans have often kidded the John Archer character always getting beaten up and always kind of just being, you know, batted around.
We're not kidding. It's true.
It is true. But, like, the Mirror Universe version kind of makes fun of that, where he's always just kind of screwing up.
Yeah.
He's just kind of an idiot. But he's like the perfect type of idiot where he's played completely straight.
Yeah.
And you just kind of get to watch him just be dumb for like an hour straight or 2 hours straight.
But it's just even fun stuff like him putting on the uniforms of the Defiant crew and walking around. I even love how, Mayweather, he just looks really badass throughout this. We get, you know, Trip with like a scarred face.
Yeah,
I thought that was brilliant. You know, he's kind of emulating the Sulu scar from Mirror Mirror.
He was also an homage to Captain Pike. Apparently, that was their intention.
Should have given him a wheelchair.
Yeah,
or at least I guess if they ever came back, Reed could have been in that wheelchair instead.
True,
he got hurt pretty badly.
Yeah,
I know we had different thoughts about the depiction of the Gorn. Mm-hmm. I dug it, but one of the things that I realized upon this watch most recently is that the reason the Gorn's voice sounded the way it did is because it's going through the Universal Translator, and not because that's what their voices naturally are.
Right.
So it actually took this viewing. Again, I'm as dumb as Archer, apparently, for me to realize
you're
that.
You're also wearing a classic uniform right now.
Yeah. And I'm spinning around in a chair. It's very interesting. But I don't. This is so much fun. To me, I'm usually not a fan of like these kind of like one-off episodes that don't really have any bearing on like the rest of our characters.
And this is really the most one-off of all Mirror Universe episodes because there's there's no crossover with the Prime versions.
I kept waiting for that to happen the first time I saw it,
yeah.
And it never did. And I was just like, okay, well, I can go with it, you know. I thought T'Pol was great in this, too.
I think Jolene Blaylock, who's great a lot of the time,
yeah.
is fantastic in this two-parter.
And even just, like, Gary Graham as Saval.
Yeah.
Like, there's only so much you can do as a Vulcan. And his character is one that I actually grew to appreciate and like throughout the run of the series. Just him being kind of like this almost a feckless sort of Vulcan with some sort of ideals, at least when he's trying to team up with like T'Pol and like tell Phlox to betray everybody.
Right.
I'm like, okay, I dig it. And you've got like a really bad goatee as well. You know, like it works for me. I love just seeing how they've conscripted, you know, Orion slave girls and Tellarites and Andorians into their own little mini federation / empire.
And there was an interesting message too about just like the racism.
Very xenophobic.
Like, I think is that the only Mirror Universe episode that tries to make any sort of commentary?
It's very on the nose, but I dig it because like Archer's like, yeah, let's get rid of all the non-humans, put them onto the Avenger.
Yeah.
The Defiant is just for Terrans only.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's so much fun. And I think part of it is just the way they approach cinematography in this episode versus the very dark, darkly lit Deep Space Nine Mirror Universe episodes. walking around on the original series sets of the Defiance.
And just gorgeous production.
Colors. I'm like, oh, it's like manna from heaven or something. Like,
and it has fan the best type of fan service where it feels organic to the story.
Yeah.
But it's so, like, many nods for original series fans. Like, getting to see the full body of Atholian.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, yes, so great.
He's like, I'm going to have to turn the temperature down.
Yes.
You know, like, it's so many. And here's the thing. The fan service has potential to make me roll my eyes a lot of the time, see into darkness.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I give them a pass on everything that they do in this particular two-parter. I'm just like, okay, I'm with you guys. This is fun. I can't believe that they had the budget to build like all those sets that required for the Constitution class starship.
Yeah, and some of like the homages were fairly like subtle too, like. Hoshi felt like a kind of a nod to Marlena from Mirror Mirror.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're not playing the same character, but it feels like they're very much positioned as the same type of character.
The consort.
Yeah, yeah, like the captain's woman. You know, Hoshi's more ruthless, but they have a similar look to them. I thought that was really interesting.
I do love how everybody's equipped with a knife.
Yeah.
They're willing. They've been trained. That's very clear.
It's true.
Okay, so we love Mirror Mirror. And In a Mirror Darkly.
And In a Mirror Darkly also, huge bonus points for the opening credits.
Oh, I can't believe I forgot about that. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, that budget, okay, you can tell that they're invested in this just because it costs money to get new credits, especially, like, ones featuring special effects. But, oh, man, that's so much, they were having so much fun with this. I think they were really hoping they'd be able to go back in subsequent years and pick up on this universe.
I mean, they committed to it in a way that I don't think DS9 ever quite did.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they just went unabashedly whole hog with Mirror Universe. Like, they're like, we're just going, we're going to do everything we could have ever wanted to do in the Mirror Universe.
Yeah.
Whereas DS9 always felt like it was, like, edging a little bit. Like, no, we got to be DS9 still.
Yeah.
We got to, you know, keep the characters from DS9 and grounded in the universe of that show. I don't know if that show lends itself to the Mirror Universe as well as Enterprise and the original.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay, so we're, you know, so-so on Deep Space Nine. We liked the other depictions of the Mirror Universe. Let's say we flash forward a year from now. We've got a new Star Trek series. I don't think either one of us thinks that this new Star Trek series is going to take place 100% of the time in the Mirror Universe. But what if we jump into the Mirror Universe once every season, like they did on Deep Space Nine, give or take, you know, is there enough going on that there's still the possibility to have as much fun in this? Or, I don't know, because I see so much universe building that's already taken place here. Mm-hmm. I just wonder what it would be at this point if, because so much of it is dependent on whatever timeline this next series takes place in.
Yeah, let's just for the sake of it, just say it's in the 25th century.
Sure.
We're going to jump ahead another 100 years.
So are we going to end up with, I would have to assume the Terran Rebellion succeeded? And
sure.
Have they fallen back into their old ways again?
Well, I feel like if it's going to be a Mirror Universe, it always has to be kind of bad.
Yeah.
Like, it can't, because you always want the characters to be kind of like pirates and, you know, scoundrels and all that sort of thing.
Okay, so the Terran Empire has been reborn.
Yeah.
And instead of having Andorians and Tellarites as, you know, indentured crew members, maybe it's the Cardassians and the Klingons that are now their, you know, the lower class aliens.
Sure.
I suppose. And I don't know. I think it would be fun, but it's so hard to kind of figure out how it would work without meeting the new crew just at this point, you know?
Yeah.
Do
you think that a Mirror Universe episode would work in today's world of more, you know, connective television? When it's episodic, like the original series, Enterprise, it's easier to drop those in there.
Yeah.
But if in a world where everything's serialized, there might be people like, what? What is going on?
Well, there might be a good reason for them to go into the universe. And here's the thing. I would hope that the next Star Trek series mixes up ongoing story arcs with episodic episodes as well. Mm-hmm. So maybe this would just be an episodic outing for the crew.
I mean,
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, it would have to be. And could you see it? Do you think they would be wise to kind of just do kind of what Enterprise did and hit their home run and kind of move on? I mean, I know Enterprise said they were going to go back to it, but just say, you know, say they never did. you'd still have this amazing two-parter that kind of did the Mirror Universe as good as you could hope, and they left it all, you know, out there.
But then, you know what? I bet they would be tempted to go back and say, hey, look how much fun we had that last time. Let's do it again.
But what do you think is better? To kind of, like, leave it all out there, like Mirror Mirror or, you know, In a Mirror Darkly, or kind of keep returning to it?
You know what? I have a tough time believing that I would have hated the follow-up to In a Mirror Darkly.
Yeah.
So if they hit it out of the ballpark on the 2017 series, I would want to revisit that and see what else is going on there. Like, I know what you're saying, but I'm like, hey, give it a shot. We'll see what happens after that.
I could see Brian Fuller being into it, because he definitely enjoys camp.
Oh,
that's
very
clear in all of his work. And it's also, I mean, he did write, like, Spirit Folk. I mean,
he evil Michael Sullivan in the Mirror Universe.
No, but he definitely enjoys sort of like the lighter stuff. And so I could see him kind of wanting to play with alternate kind of realities or alternate realms for the crew.
I'd be kind of surprised if he doesn't jump on this universe, because it's so iconic. He seems like such a fan.
Yeah.
And look, like you said, he's into the camp. There's so much room for camp here.
Yeah.
I would genuinely be surprised if we don't get an episode by season two of the new series.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I think for the first season, they're just trying to find their footing.
Yeah.
I'd be kind of surprised if they do one in the inaugural season. Yeah. But after that, I think it's wide open.
Now, do you think it would be an episode, or do you think they would do like a couple episode arc?
See, okay, here's the other thing. Like, I don't think we're going to get a 26-episode season.
Don't think so. I think 13, maybe.
Yeah. And so if that's the case, I can't imagine them doing, like, a 3 episodes devoted just to the Mirror Universe.
Right.
So I picture it more as, like, a one-off episode each season mm-hmm. with kind of that connected storyline that we saw with Deep Space Nine.
Right.
Maybe it's, again, another fall of the Terran Empire. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they're introduced to another reformer, and that brings down the Terran Empire for a second time. Who knows?
Right.
But there could be, you know, some other storylines to be told. But let me bring this up. We kind of touched upon it at the beginning of the episode. What about, you know, Mirror Universe for the film franchise? Like, do you think that could work on the big screen? Do you think mainstream audiences would understand, like, the marketing for this at this point?
I don't know. I think so. Like, I feel like, I think, oddly, like, one of the things that would really help an episode like this is sort of the embracing of comic book culture in movies and pop culture. Because you look at what comic book movies what's happening in those movies, it's bizarre and completely out there.
It's, it's a whole lot of mythology for people to keep up with, and I'm kind of shocked that they're getting away with this.
I mean, Thor is a multi-million dollar franchise, you know, billion probably at this point. You know, Guardians of the Galaxy is nuts. Like, all of these things are asking a lot of general audiences, but it's working.
And from what we hear, like, you know, Paramount wanted their own version of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
If they get a wacky out there space adventure with, like, crazy versions of the crew we know so well,
yeah,
I think they'd be down with that pitch.
I think the only thing that limits is that the Star Trek movies are not cranked out that frequently.
Yeah.
And look, I mean, Quinto and Pine are signed for Star Trek 4, but we can't assume they're going to do 5 and 6. So it's like, are they going to use maybe their last one for a Mirror Universe episode movie? I don't think so.
I think, honestly, Paramount wants a space franchise.
Yeah.
They're going to pay those actors. You know, they've already, the fact that they already signed them to number 4 before 3 even came out, that tells me that they're willing to put down dough and get those characters on. Here's the thing. Maybe Zoe Saldana's more of a question mark.
Yeah.
I still think that they'd give her a ton of money, or at least just get her to shoot for a couple days.
Right.
So I don't think this is going to end at film number 4.
I just wonder, because the Star Trek movies are so different than the show.
Yeah.
And I just don't see, like, come on, they didn't even make a Q movie.
What? and it seems so obvious.
Yes.
I think there were, didn't we hear that there were some initial talks or rumblings?
It was brief talks. It was not.
Didn't really go anywhere.
No.
But here's the thing. That's a regime from the studio from 20 years ago.
Yes, but I feel like in the world of Star Trek movies now, you're far more likely to see, like, the Borg show up or something like that than the Mirror Universe.
Sure. I don't, like, here's the thing, Cam. You, after we left Into Darkness, you said, you were convinced that the Borg were going to show up in the third film.
Yeah,
and I said, no way. And yeah. Here's the thing. It just seems... It doesn't make sense that they would. It's such a next-gen property.
Yeah.
And I'm genuinely shocked that Paramount is not cranking out these Star Trek films more frequently when you see what Marvel's doing.
Yeah.
They're putting out, like, 3 movies a year, practically, at this point.
Right.
I'm kind of surprised they haven't rebooted Next Gen yet and getting the Borg introduced in that inaugural outing there.
It seems like such an obvious thing to do.
I'm kind of surprised they're not... Look, they're releasing like one Star Wars movie a year at this point.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get Episode 8 2 years after the Episode 7 came out.
Yep.
You know, I'm surprised they haven't cranked it out. And if they are willing to ramp it up, it depends on how... Beyond does. I think the fact that they've already signed Quinto and Pine to this means that they want to crank out these movies at a much faster pace. If that happens, I wouldn't be shocked if they stick a Mirror Universe outing into, I don't know, maybe movie number 5 or something.
Yeah, I'm not saying I wouldn't like to see it.
Yeah.
I just feel like when it comes to the studio executive checklist, Mirror Universe is not high on the list.
I agree.
But I feel like you're going to see Gorn far more likely than you're going to see... You know, like the Mirror Universe, because they are not looking at it from the point of view of what Star Trek fans want. But they do know, you know, hey, the Gorn is on those commercials with William Shatner. Like, that's more known to the average person. We can market that. I don't know. To me, it feels like that is the easier go-to.
Do you know what it is to me, though? I we've talked about it. I don't think anyone at Paramount has any idea what to do with the Star Trek franchise.
I agree.
That's why they were very happy that J.J. Abrams was taking kind of that shepherding role. He's moved on. What it's going to take is if Simon Pegg / Justin Lin are able to come up with like a solid pitch, I think Paramount's like, okay, well, Star Trek Beyond made a ton of money. Yeah. You guys wrote it, directed it. We like your pitch maybe for a Mirror Universe episode. Sure. Go hog wild.
That's assuming Justin Lin stays on after this one.
There are some interviews trickling out. He seems quite happy with the movie. Mm-hmm. And usually if a movie's really crappy, you can kind of pick that up from the director.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. If he's satisfied...
I don't know. Zack Snyder on the Batman v Superman rounds?
But, you know, here's the thing. With Star Trek Beyond, there's just so many unknowns. Mm-hmm. But... Have you been hearing, like, a ton of negative buzz coming out of this?
No, that would require anyone was talking
about
exactly.
it. Well, exactly. The fact that I'm hearing no buzz is better news than bad buzz.
Right.
So that's why, I don't know, I think there's a chance that it's not going to be Paramount that says, we want to have a Mirror Universe movie. I think it's going to be the next creative regime. Maybe it's going to be Simon Pegg who gets to inherit this. It depends on... the performance of Beyond, but that's who I think is going to be bringing on the possibility of a Mirror Universe film.
If it is Simon Pegg, I could see him pushing it.
Yeah.
Because I think as an actor, it would be a blast.
Oh, yeah.
I think for any actor, you'd be like, I would love to do that.
Maybe he gets to do an English accent instead of a Scottish accent.
Right. And if I'm Simon Pegg and I have power, I would far rather play my Mirror Universe counterpart than watch Chris Pine fight the Gorn.
Sure, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, one is fun for him. One is only maybe fun for one guy.
Hey, maybe Simon Pegg will give himself like a belly shirt that he has to prance around in as well.
Or he'll just want to remake the episode Wolf in the Fold where Scotty kills a belly dancer.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Okay, so,
on that note.
I think our assignment is complete. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, we want to hear from you. Send your thoughts and feedback to subspacetransmissionspod@gmail.com.
And Cam, don't forget that we're going to be covering Birthright Part 1 and 2 next week. I know you listeners cannot wait to hear this.
Is that a promise or a threat?
Well, we might have a good special guest to come in on our show, so make sure you guys tune in next week.
Groovy. Okay, so you can also reach us on the Twitter. I'm at Cam V as in visitor, Nana Smith.
Well, you can find me at Reportin. That's REPORTON. N as in number 100. That's the number of episodes we've sent out to our listeners at this point. You might be confused because it says number 87 on iTunes right now.
Yeah.
But we've released 13 bonus episodes.
No, so... we've done more than that. Because the Vegas and the Seattle cons.
Those are all bonus episodes?
The first couple were.
Cam, I really hate your your bonus episode numbering system. I've never been in favor of that.
Yeah,
it's never made any sense.
Well, that's why it's ended.
We've also had like two of these lost episodes that you listeners may not know about. So I don't know. I guess this is number 104 or something.
Yeah.
Who knows? Sure. I don't know, but you guys, when we actually do get up to our official episode 100, Cam and I, we have been talking about it. We're going to have some special guests on. It's going to be a very different kind of episode, mm-hmm. but it's going to be fun. So
I think so.
Just, I guess, 12 more weeks, guys.
Or it could be a complete train wreck.
Yeah.
So.
Well, maybe the latter.
Yeah, we'll okay. see. That would be truer to the show.
That's
okay,
true.
Okay, so until next time, the arena is closed.
Transfer complete.